Is that it?
Nope.
Nope, that is not it. Twisters, when God's words get twisted, they wreak destruction. And it starts off just like that little video, just a little shadow, just a little shadow. And as it builds up steam, it breaks into life, upturns life, changes everything around. Now, we're not, thankfully, in Tornado Alley, but there have been some threats over it, over one recently and more frequently now. But that whole idea of the confusion, the chaos, the destruction, all of that, it may sound overdramatic, is true when you and I get mixed up, twisted up, or when God's words get twisted and we start living out of that. It's a very dangerous, dangerous place to be. Last week, Josh started us off on our series with the proverb, train up a child, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, and all the variations of that. And that was significant because that idea, that principle, not promise, that principle can really mess us up when it gets all twisted. And so he did a great job with that. I don't have to repeat that. So you can go online and listen to that again. So please take note of that. But we started off with this idea from 2 Peter. Some things Paul writes are difficult to understand. Irresponsible people who do not know what they're talking about twist them every which way. They do it to the rest of scriptures too, destroying themselves as they do. But you, friends, are well warned. Be on your guard, lest you lose your footing and get swept off your feet by these lawless, loose-talking teachers. And the idea there is we need to be aware. You need to be aware of what I say. You need to check it. You need to say, does this match up? When we're looking at Scripture, this is very quick. You can take a whole Bible course on this for a semester. But the idea is that we need to understand the context, what's going on. That's what's so great about CBS. They're taking a whole lookbook, and they're looking at all the context, all the facets around that. We need to make sure we're interpreting Scripture with other Scriptures, that they fit together. And it's not a force fit. Some of you go, you may try be trying to force that. I guarantee it's not a force fit. There's some complicated things, but if you slow down and think through, there are logical reasons and how that all fits together, and they complement each other because it is God's word. And then, and almost most importantly, is this idea of applying what you learn. My dad often will say, Jesus did not come to write a theology book. He came to change lives. And he's been at places where theology is lifted up, and that is wonderful and all of that, but the change of life gets a little less. There needs to be a changed life out of what you know. And you've heard me say this before, we're educated way beyond our level of obedience. And sometimes I realize that as a Christ follower, and if you're, again, kicking the tires, I realize that in my own life, I just need to apply what I know. I almost know enough. It's me just living it out. So as Bill talked about being in his word on a regular basis, God's word, it's to remind us of those things. It's to shape our day. It's so that when I enter the day, I remember how God wants me to respond to the world around me. And if you've said yes to Christ, you don't do that by yourself because you have his spirit with him. You have the Holy Spirit inside you, infusing. We talked about this a little while ago, infusing in your conscience. So you have that. And the more you open yourselves up to that, the more he will lead. The more you shut him down, he is not going to force himself on you. And there are days we like that, and there are days I wish he would make me do things. Because sometimes I don't want to do what he wants me to do. I don't even want to do it. It's not, or be it or act that way. So again, these ideas of twisters, when God's word get twisted, have a huge impact. And today we're going to be looking at don't judge me. And that little phrase is just so well known in circles outside of church world. Everybody seems to know that somebody spiritual, Jesus said, don't judge. I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation where you're making like a judgment call about something and it gets a little close to their being and they say, you can't judge me. What are you doing, judge me? You're so judgmental, or vice versa. So it's one of these things that has been twisted, and we can get confused. We can not see how things are, and that affects our judgment. So this idea of judging and evaluating and deciding is very important. And every time I think about this subject, I can't help but include these two commercials.
Hello. Well, how much are they asking?
Well, that's a lot of money for a deck.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but you're getting robbed. Did you hear me? You're getting robbed.
Ow! Stop!
Look at the cute dog.
That is so gross. Sorry. Well, not really sorry, so don't judge me. Don't judge me, all right? All right, well, we're going to jump right into Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to be reading it in the ERV. Sometimes you see that in your notes. Most of the scriptures we have are right in your little message guide, and that's the easy-to-read version. Sometimes I wish they had a different name because it sounds like, oh, this is the you know, they have those books for dummies, you know, computers for dummies, cars for dummies, and you go, easy to read. But they've done a fantastic job translating it, and to me, it just really speaks to my heart, so you're stuck with that. Also, the NIV is on page 661. There are little rack Bibles, and if you don't have a paper copy of God's Word, we want you to be able to take that home as a gift from Seneca Community Church. If you're watching online, we would try to make arrangements to get you one if you so desire. And also, I just encourage you to download YouVersion. It's a free Bible app. There's other Bible apps, and this one just is a good one, so you may have your own one. That's fine, but it's great to have the Scriptures, God's words, wherever you go, on your phone. Isn't that amazing? You know, we get upset about technology, but that is a great thing. Wherever your phone is, you can have the Bible with you. You can stop and take a look anytime, so please take advantage of that. So, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1. Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. If you judge others, you will be judged the same way you judge them. Yikes. That yikes was in the Greek there somewhere. No, just kidding. God will treat you the same way you treat others. Why do you notice the small piece of dust that is in your friend's eyes, but do not notice the big piece of wood that is in your own? Why do you say to your friend, let me take that piece of dust out of your eye? Look at yourself first. You still have that big piece of wood in your eye. You are a hypocrite. First, take the wood out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to get the dust out of your friend's eyes. Don't give something that is holy to dogs. Very interesting. They will only turn and hurt you. And don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will only step on them. I really like that phrase about dogs because we don't have a dog. And, you know, anyway, that's a whole other story. So how does this all work out? How do we don't judge in this whole idea of what is going on? Because at first glance, someone might say, well, we're not supposed to make any judgments about anybody else. We're not supposed to say anything. We're supposed to keep our mouths shut. We really shouldn't evaluate anything and all of that. But obviously, we're going to find that that is not true. So what happens is you and I do make judgment calls, and some are acceptable and some have crossed the line, and we're going to try to look at what that is and some kind of thinking about how to navigate through that. And this happens all in our world, and in a real simple way. I had to go back to 2014 to find these text messages, but this happened at my house. Someone was judging. It was terrible. So I texted my wife. I said, someone stole my toothpaste. And we have our own toothpaste in our house, and that's very important to me. So if I looked to buy my toothpaste, and it was gone. So I text messaged her, and she responded, oh, great. Sorry about the toothpaste. You know, we've got kids in our house, and, you know, where is this toothpaste and going on? And then, was it you? I said. And she very quickly said, no. You see, I filled in the blank immediately. I expected Cindy was in our bathroom and moved the toothpaste and didn't put it back where it was, and that wasn't true. I think I found out later on that I had actually put the toothpaste in the wrong drawer, and it was me all the time. And I'm a person who usually puts things, except every once in a while I don't. And what's the first response? Somebody messed me up, not I messed up. So this whole judgment thing, it can happen at any level in all of our life. And we just need to realize that it's a part of our life and see what Jesus is really saying about it. Because again, we get this twisted. It's a twister. So first of all, there is a difference between making a judgment call and being judgmental. There's difference between making a judgment call in being judgmental. You know, it's you got to make judgment calls. I wanted to do a little thing about school. You know, maybe if Jesus says, thou shalt not judge, we should do away with grading. Jesus said, no grades, no judging. But we obviously know that is not the case. There needs to be some kind of judgment decision. If you had somebody, let's say, painting a room in your house, and you gave them the assignment of painting it tan, and they painted it green, you are allowed to say, wait a minute, that was supposed to be tan, not green. That is not being judgmental. But there are those that are judgmental, and we need to, again, always be making these decisions. We need to be evaluating. We need to not be have a critical spirit, but we need to be observant. And all of us have a different tipping point. Some of us are naturally critical and judgmental all the time. We need to pull it back. Some of us are oblivious, and we need to engage a little bit more. This is what's great about having a personal walk with the God who created everything. He will lead you. He will guide you. If you slow down and need an answer, at his timing, he will give you the answer. So even this idea of judging or having a judgment call is correct, but being judgmental is not. You know, Jesus even later on says, be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they are out to rip you off in some way or other. We kind of know some of those. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit or take advantage of his people. So this idea, you've got to make a judgment call. So that's not what Jesus obviously is talking about. We need to evaluate. We need to observe. We need to know what God's heart is through his word so that we can navigate this world. And yes, it's confusing, but I want to say it's not so confusing that you can't, with time, figure it out. I don't think God puts a decision where you need to make a judgment call in front of your life that's impossible for you to figure out, because he'd be setting you up for failure. Our God does not set us up for failure. Maybe that's a little bit of work. Maybe it's because we have to lean into our relationship with him. Maybe he lets that happen in our life or brings it into our life because we're not spending any time in God's word. And he says, well, you know, the only way to get you into my word, to know who I am, is to create this little thing, so you have to figure it out. So sometimes that's our own call. So this idea, again, of you know, the conflict between being evaluating, having a good judgment call, and being judgmental. First of all, we're never supposed to judge superficially. Stop, by the way, things. Stop judging by the way things look. Don't be nitpickers. Use your head and heart and be fair and judge correctly by what is really right and what is authentically right. Combined a few verses there, phrases from John 7:24, different translations, you can see that. But it's not having a critical spirit. Don't be superficial. Don't rely on physical appearance or behavior. Sometimes it's just what we see instantly. We've sized somebody or something up, and there can be a lot of errors with that. So we need to watch out for that. Even behavior, sometimes we just don't understand what is going on. We need context. We need to understand the story. That doesn't mean we have situation ethics when it comes to following God, but we just need to understand and unpack what is going on. So we don't see it right because we don't know it right. I'll show you a couple slides. Like, what do you think about this one? What's that? Eventually, you get to just sink draining. Yeah, so that kind of looks like an eyeball. If I fast it up there really fast, you go, oh, it's an eyeball. Nope, that's a sink draining. This is a mother eating its child. Or is it? No, it isn't. I had one that I couldn't show you. But anyway, that will go on. So you don't want to rely on physical appearance or behaviors. That's when you are being judgmental. And it's amazing. In this world, it operates by that. I've got a little list here. This is from some studies. I'll just read this to you. Attractive students receive more attention and receive higher evaluations from their teachers. It's been proven. I thought it was just because I was bad, but no, I didn't get higher evaluations, but I did get attention. But anyway, good-looking patients receive more personal care from doctors and nurses. Handsome criminals receive lighter sentences than less attractive criminals. A study of male graduates at the University of Pittsburgh found that the tallest students had a starting salary that was 12% higher than shorter classmates. Overweight women are more likely to be unemployed, but those who are employed earn an average of 5% less than their normal weight peers. Plain people earn 5 to 10% less than people with average looks. That's, I guess, plain people is code for not very good looking, but for average looking, who in turn earn 3% to 8% less than those who are deemed good looking. Human behavior, human beings are hardwired to respond more favorably to attractive people. Even studies of babies show they will look more intently and longer at prettier faces. And that must be why my grandkids just like looking at me. I'll get off that slide as soon as possible. But anyway, you get the idea. And it's not right. I'll let you know a little secret, and I did a study, an in-depth study. When we moved here and I started going to doctors and trying to figure out who my doctors would be, I realized the better I dressed, the more serious they took me. I kid you not. If I wore dress pants, I actually dressed up more than this. I wore my grandfather's ring and wore that and came in there, they would treat me differently than if I was a t-shirt and shorts with flip-flops on. What is up with that? It is absolutely true, but it's absolutely wrong. God looks at the heart. You can't see in somebody's heart, but you need to value a person. And we're making judgment calls all the time. Sometimes it gets us in trouble. Someone comes in and looks like they got it all together and they got the thing going on. They're driving the car. They have all the stuff. And you look at them and go, wow, they must. And then you trust them when you should never have trusted them. You just don't know. You don't know. And so when it talks about being judgment calls versus being judgmental, you got to be aware that that's race, color. All those kinds of things. One of our son-in-laws is Indian, and he looks Indian. And when they were getting dating and getting married, I said there are some parts of our country where if you're married and have kids, they're going to give you a little bit of a hard time. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter. He's smart and does computer stuff and all this stuff, that won't matter. They will treat you differently. So I'm all for you. I love you. I think this is great, but you just need to have that in the back of your mind. Don't wear it as a chip on your shoulder, but be aware. And so and that is absolutely, absolutely wrong. You've probably heard James. My dear brothers and sisters, you are believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Again, glorious, glory is the idea of recognizing God. So we recognize God, obviously, in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God. When we glorify God, people are recognizing God in our lives, that we're following him, and our glorious Jesus Christ. So don't treat some people better than others. Wow. And behavior counts, too. Personality counts too. Someone pushes all your buttons, you don't treat them differently. Doesn't mean there isn't consequences. It doesn't mean you check your brain at the door, but you don't treat people differently. If somebody doesn't have anything to like offer you, it's a one-way relationship. God sometimes calls us to give our life away to somebody and not get anything back. And that's okay. That's actually good. That's actually what Jesus did for us, isn't it? He gave his life away when we could not do anything for ourselves. So don't treat some people better than others. I told you before, the first time this really reared its ugly head in my life, I was a youth pastor way back when I was younger than Josh and Michael. Like, that was like the last century. That's not that long ago, but it was a long time ago. And I remember there was two guys in youth group and one guy I liked and one guy I didn't. And we're driving someplace in the van coming back from a trip from Philadelphia, and the one guy wants to stop at the bathroom or get a drink or something. I'm like, no, well, you can wait, you can hold it, blah, 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 blah. Then a little bit later, the other guy asks, hey, can we stop and get a drink? I'm like, yeah, we'll stop at the next state. And all of a sudden, I realized I was treating them different. There were reasons why. One, I enjoyed a little bit more, but I should not have treated them different. Shame on me. Shame on me when that happens today. And it's hard to totally get away from it. Suppose someone comes into your meeting wearing very nice clothes and a gold ring. At the same time, a poor person comes in wearing old, dirty clothes. You show special attention to the person wearing nice clothes. You say, sit here in the good seat. But you say to the poor person, stand there or sit on the floor by your feet. By our feet. Again, doesn't this show you think some people are more important than others? You set yourselves up as judges who make bad decisions. Prejudice is the idea of prejudging somebody else. We lived in Portland, Maine. I've shared this years ago. We had a neighbor who was the weatherman on TV. And every night we'd see him on the Fox News, the station doing his weather thing. And one time about eight of us went out to movies, and it was great. We saw, some Harrison Ford movie, and we went to Chili's, and we got to Chili's, and it was packed. And I couldn't believe this happened. He went up to the front person and said, hey, I'm so-and-so-and-so-and. Gave him a 20, and all of a sudden, we walked right in. Because he was a big deal, big shot. I'm like, it was just a really awkward thing. They were treating him differently. All these other people are sitting in the waiting room. I just couldn't believe it. And you go, wow, that's outrageous. But we can do that in little, subtle ways. The way we receive someone's call, the way we receive someone asks us for help or has a question, we can treat them differently. Now, we're not, again, talking about being a doormat and all that kind of stuff, but we're not to do it. We're not to have prejudice, the idea of prejudging someone. If you love someone and are called to love, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. When someone comes to you with some little piece of information about somebody, do you automatically jump on the bandwagon, or do you say, that doesn't sound like them? And if it does sound like them or it is them, do you back off and then go deal with it because that person hasn't had the guts to talk to that person? What do you do with it? You're supposed to love him. I love this judge on the Pulse that came out, who's your favorite TV judge? And I love this judge probably because he's from Providence, Rhode Island. I love the way they talk. They talk correctly. You'll hear this. And just watch how he responds to this person in court.
I've been homeless for the last year, and I hit hardship, and I'm trying to get I'm in the Amos house trying to make some money. I've been homeless in Rhode Island for a year and have no income. I'm trying to rebuild my life.
When are you going to do the 90 days at the Amos house?
I'm thinking about next Thursday. That's when the interviews are.
$50 to remove the boot. Pay that as soon as you can. It's going to be $10 a week on the balance. When you go to Amos House, right, just get a certification that you are at Amos House, and I'll dismiss the balance from the day. So whatever you owe, if you go to Amos House in 2 weeks, from that point on, so long as you're in the program, the rest will be dismissed.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Right, we're rooting for you.
Appreciate
all right,
it.
Good luck.
Thank now, you. I'm aware that many people will comment that I was too lenient with Mr. Porson, that I should have held him responsible for the entire amount of his fines because that's the law. Well, that's not the intent of the law. Laws aren't written to break people's spirit, to rob them of an opportunity to get their life back on track. If I could give everyone in the world just one quality, it would be empathy. Put yourself in his shoes. Would you have wanted me to judge you by the letter of the law? Would you have been fined if your home was taken from you because you couldn't pay a court judgment in full? I didn't think so. Good luck, Mr. Porson. We're rooting for you.
And the reason he said his home is because his home was his car. And judgmental. Don't know somebody's story. Don't know somebody's story. Give the benefit of the doubt. Have an attitude that promotes or enhances the well-being of another, or give others the advantage. Just a whole different way. And we live in such a jaded, on the chip, critical about everything, judging everything, judgmental about everything, and we don't give the benefit of the doubt. How to learn this when someone's waiting on me at a restaurant and they're not as nice as I think they ought to be. I sometimes stop and I go, I wonder what they came to work from. What were they facing? Was there some tragedy? Was there some difficult thing going on? Was, you know, cut them some slack. I mean, come on. And they'll see me pray with whoever I'm with normally. And I want to point them to Jesus. I don't want to be just add to the jerkiness of their bad day. So give people the benefit of the doubt. Again, don't get taken advantage of. But sometimes you will be taken advantage of a little bit when you're giving yourself away. Because bottom line, not the bottom line, but the bottom line here is I take advantage of Jesus all the time. And so do you. Take advantage of his grace, his mercy. So if I'm going to be like Jesus, live and love like Jesus, there are times where I take one on the chin for the team. Not because I'm so good, but I take one on the team because I want to see that person pull their life together. I loved how the judge said, we're rooting for you. Never judge hypocritically. Watch out for doing that, and the idea is that you're kind of involved in the same thing. You are a hypocrite. First, take the wood out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to get the dust out of your friend's eye. And this idea of having something little in your own eye, you think, and that something got something big in theirs, but take the big thing out. And the reality is when you have something in your eye, it might as well be a whole car, right? If you had something in your eye, I mean, it could be just a little thing, and you're like, get to my, you know, it's like you're stumbling around your house, you know, you can't see. And Cindy every once in a while will say, hey, help me, I got something in my eye. I'm like, I can't see it, you know. It's good she's in kids' zone. What do you want me to do, stick my finger in there and like kind of rip? I don't know. But she asks, and, you know, because it's like her whole world, this little speck. And you and I have little specks that are our whole world, our sin, if you will, that we need judgment and fortunately have mercy and grace. And somebody else has their little speck, but we see it like with binoculars as being huge, and it's really no different than ours. A hypocrite is someone who overjudges themselves and underjudges themselves and overjudges everybody else. Saw this a lot with my kids. I'd see little tendencies of me in them. I'd see the bad ones. The ones where I'm going, ooh. And I'd be all over them about it. And then they would say to me, they didn't say Dave. I was going to say Dave. They'd say, Dad, lighten up, basically. And then I realized that it was because I saw a speck of me in them. And to me, it looked like a 2x4. And out of those situations, it was because of love. I didn't want them to have to suffer with the stupid, selfish things I was doing. I wanted to eradicate that from their life. So that's why I was on them about it. So the intent was good, but the mannerism was terrible. And I had to explain, I have seen that little speck grow into a 2x4. And I don't want you to have to live with that. So don't accuse others and excuse yourself. Same kind of idea. You hear this every once in a while. Someone's being unkind or whatever, and you kind of look at the, you know, or you're being unkind. You go, well, it's because I had a bad day, blah, 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 blah. Then somebody else kind of does the same thing, and you make it a character issue for them, but for you, it's just you were having a bad day. No, they were having a bad day too. It's not necessarily a character issue. Maybe it's a character issue in you, and it isn't in them. So don't accuse others and excuse yourself. Sometimes our hardest judgments can disclose that what we think is our most private weaknesses. And again, that idea that sometimes we're on something. Sometimes you see this with celebrities. They're all on stuff. Sometimes you see this with celebrity pastors, not to totally pick on them, but they're like all on some sin issue, and all of a sudden you find out they're doing kind of the same thing. And so we just need to go, why do I have such a response to that? Sometimes it's a cover-up because, again, this whole judgmental kind of thing. Never hold non-Christians to Christian standards. And you may go, what are you talking about there, Dave? Christians should act like Christians. Non-Christians, non-Christ followers are non-Christ followers. Doesn't mean you're happy, but that's not who they are. Worry more about Christians, you Christ follower, acting like a Christian than somebody else. That's that whole beam thing. It's a speck in my eye. It's actually a beam in my eye because I'm not acting like a Christ follower. And then I get ticked off about this other person that's doing something that might be related to what I do or might be totally unrelated to what I do, but I'm all up in their business because they're doing this, and yet I am supposed to follow Christ, and I'm really not following Christ. I'm really not all in. And when it comes to these conversations that you and I can have, we just need to be very careful. And that's why this verse 6 is in there. Don't give something that is holy to dogs. They will only turn and hurt you. And don't throw pearls to the pigs. They will only step on them. And the whole idea is that when we're sharing, we need to understand if someone's open to it. Don't force it down someone's throat. And it's not that you're picking on them. It's just not the right time. Lighten up on them. Not worry about that. Again, never hold non-Christians to Christian standards. And when we're doing this, we need to make accurate judgments centered on Jesus' value. That's what helps us see what judgment calls we're going to make. We're seeing through his eyes. And a lot of us have talked about the woman at the well, and we've seen how Jesus responded to her, or not the woman at the well, but there is a woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery. He is kind and gentle, but doesn't back off. He is able to do that. He has good centered Jesus values, obviously, because he's Jesus. But we need to make sure we're thinking through that grid. We need more people in our lives to help speak into our lives so we make sure this is all happening. And that's why life is better connected. And we talked about that earlier up front, that we need the help of others. Christianity is not a solo sport. So we need to have that dynamic so other people speak into our lives. Just the other day, I had a dear friend tell me 3-4 things, and he was right on. And I needed to hear them. And I thanked him. I did not want to discourage him from speaking into my life because I was flying blind in an area. Why? That's risk. Don't, you know, watch out for that. Watch out for that. Always help restore a fallen Christ follower. Always be aware of that. You're to come alongside. You can read Galatians 1 on your own. And we've got all of it. Always come aside. Don't just crush them. I love that clip with the man of court. That judge is trying to help him get his life back together. He's not like slamming him while he's down. And he's making a move in that direction. So he celebrates that move and tries to facilitate that. Always help steady a stumbling Christ follower. When somebody's stumbling, you just don't back off and let them fall. If all of a sudden I was walking across here and you were nearby and I started to stumble, you wouldn't go like hands off and just go, oh, that's too bad. You know. Well, maybe you would. Well, hopefully you wouldn't do that. And, sometimes in Christian circles, oh, they're getting themselves into trouble, and we just kind of back off and watch them, you know, walk off the cliff. Don't do that. Be aware of that. Again, Galatians, if someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him. Save your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are pressed, share their burdens, and so complete the law of Christ. So as we think about this subject about judging versus judgmental, seeing the little splinter, the little speck in somebody else's eye when we've got a big 2x4 sticking out of our eye, what we ought to be doing is we should be more concerned about our own sin and have grace to help others with theirs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, a lot in this, a lot to think about, and Lord, I personally ask for forgiveness for the times that I am judgmental. Lord, forgive me, forgive us. Help us to not be that kind of a church, that kind of a people. Help us to see people as we can help people, not even from on high like we have all the answers, but coming alongside for the journey. Help us to live and love like you and make a difference in that way. Father, I ask that if there's anyone who's never said yes to you, never trusted in you as their Savior, that today would be the day they would take that step. Maybe they'd come up to someone who would pray with them down front or see me or see Josh or whoever, and they could kind of leave this place with that settled today or set up a time to talk about that. And then for us who have said yes, would we be saying yes all the time? Would we be obedient to our level of knowledge rather than the other way around? Thank you for this time. Thank you for a start of a new fall. And we just thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.